Good morning, Living Waters Church.
Oh my goodness. Well, Pastor Robert's not here tonight, and Laura texted me today and asked me if I could preach. And of course, the answer is yes, because that's what our job is to do. Duane and I, it's our to hold up their arms and to support them in any way that we can. So whenever they ask us to serve, we say yes. Even if you have no idea what you're going to say or what you're going to do. But I am confident in the Holy Spirit. And the fun thing is that who's been in my Sunday school class whenever I was teaching? And then Pastor gets up and starts teaching about love. And so it just brought me so much validation. It's like, yes, you know, you're hearing from the Lord. And when Pastor starts preaching about love, that's very significant. And so I'm very excited. And I'm excited to be here. Father, thank you so much for your presence, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people and you're right here with us. And I just thank you. Father, I ask you to blow on the embers of our heart, that you would stir up a hunger on the inside of us, Lord, that you would make us salt and light in the world, that the love that you have put in our hearts, Lord, would just be conveyed to every person that we come in contact with, that they would never be the same, because they have experienced the presence of Jesus in our lives. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've got both of my Bibles up here. I've got my trusty one that I know where everything is because it's got a copy stain by it and it's got a tear here and a place here. And you kind of, you know, it's your comfort. This is my comfort Bible. And then I have the New Living Translation because I really like the way that it says some things. So I brought it as well. The crazy thing is I've been thinking about when Jesus said what the greatest commandment was and that it was the replacement for everything. I went back and I looked at, if you go to Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are, and most of you, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I'm preaching to the saints and the ones who know the word better than I do. But this was interesting to me in Exodus 20, when you look at the Ten Commandments, the Lord's giving it to Moses, and he says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down before them. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. I went and read through those. There's not one word in there about love. Right? There's not one word in there about love. And then let's go to Matthew 22. And you guys all know what it says, but we're going to look at it in the Word. Matthew 22, 34. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? So here he was testing him, right? Because they had this whole law that they had to make sure that they did every single part of it. And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. Y'all know that, right? There was like 3,000 different laws and things that they had to take care of. And they didn't. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. What do you think these people were freaked out? These were the rulers. These were the ones who knew the word inside and outside, forwards and backwards. They could do it every way. And when you look at it, it doesn't say anything about love. It's you will do this, you will do this, you will do this. It's all about works. It's about you will honor me, you will do this. It was like the, you know, like we're used to. It's like the teacher who has the gavel, the judge who has the gavel. It's like you will do this, you will do this. And Jesus is saying, you just need to love the Lord your God, just like we were singing tonight. We'll love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, everything that's in me. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so can you just imagine these religious people trying to keep the law, and they did not have the love of God in them. They weren't loving. They were judgmental. They were religious. They were law keepers. And they liked to slap the hand of anybody that wasn't. But here comes Jesus, and he says, I want you to love God. And when we start to love God, then it's going to change everything. Then you're going to be able to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so then we go to, in 1 John 4, you know, John is all about the love. 1 John 4, we'll start in verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation means helasmos, which means merciful. I'm reading my word wealth here in my Bible. But basically it means that Jesus atoned for us for all of our sins, right? So he became the propitiation. Beloved, verse 11, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So when Jesus died and then he was resurrected, he went to his disciples and he showed himself to them, right? But who was missing? Peter was missing. And so turn with me to John 20. Peter had denied Jesus. You know, Jesus told him that he was going to deny him, and he denied him and ran away. And I'm sure he felt, if you could just put yourself in Peter's place, can you imagine how you would feel? Devastated, ashamed, just mortified. It's like, it would be like, Lord, kill me now. How horrible to actually have what he said to you is going to come to pass, because he's like, no, never, that's not going to happen. He was confident. But what happened? The love of God had not been shed abroad in his heart yet. He was still living under the law. He was still convincing Jesus, no, they're not going to kill you. Are you kidding me? And Jesus had to turn around and rebuke him. They're not going to kill you. And Jesus told him, he's like, get behind me, because he surely shall, because the word will come to pass, and every word that's been spoken over me will come to pass. So let's see here. 20, did I even write it down? Probably not. Okay, it's verse 21. I mean, chapter 21, John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael and Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon said to them, guys, I'm going fishing. This is what I know to do. I am going fishing. And they said to him, well, we're going to go too. And they went out, immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Zero. Zilcho. These professional fishermen caught not one single fish. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know that it was him. Then Jesus said to them, children, so here are these grown men, right? This was, they're doing their profession, and he calls out from the shore, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. You see a kid saying that? No, Lord, there's no food. They didn't even know it was the Lord, though. No, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So here they had fish all night long, and here's this guy standing on the shore. They don't even know it's Jesus. And he says, hey, cast your net on the right side. Not the wrong side. Cast it on the right side. So he cast it on the right side of the boat, and they were not able to draw in it because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who is that? John. Because John's writing about himself in his own book. Isn't that hilarious? So John says, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, so here's John saying to Peter, "It's the Lord." How did they know it was the Lord? Had Jesus changed his countenance? Did Jesus finally just take off his veil and say, "Ta-da! It's me"? No, what happened? They saw a miracle. They saw Jesus' word. He spoke the word. They obeyed the word, and it brought forth increase. Therefore, Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Just launched out into the sea. I mean, they could have just easily rowed in with their haul, but he had to jump in and swim. But the other disciples came in a little boat. So they must have been in this great big boat that had the little boat that you put out, and then you go. So you can leave your boat out there at the shore, and you take the little boat in. For they were not very far from land. So Peter was just beside himself, and he had to get to the shore. Can you just imagine? He was just like, "Oh, my gosh, throw on my coat and jump in." Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. So where'd Jesus get his fish? Had he gone fishing earlier that day? He'd already had fish and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. How specific. But we serve a God of specifics. It's specific. That just cracks me up. 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Another miracle. Don't you know they're freaking out right now? Fishermen? 153 fish and the nets were not broken. And there were a lot of big ones. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Even though from the boat they're saying, with courage, they're saying, "It's Jesus." But when they get up there, they're like, "Is this really him?" I bet they were just like, "Oh my gosh, this is like Jesus, isn't it?" They didn't ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Okay, so here they are eating breakfast. Let's just picture this. They're sitting by the side of the seashore. Jesus has just made this pit of coals to build a fire. He's just got fish on there for these guys and bread, and they're eating breakfast together. They're breaking bread. They're eating breakfast together. And Jesus looked over to Simon Peter. He's soaking wet, y'all. He has just jumped into the water with his coat on. He is wet. There is no time frame here. He has breakfast ready when they get there. So here's this poor guy sitting by the fire. I'm sure he's soaking wet. And he looks at him. He says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than all these? Everything that you've just done, all these guys that are with you, this great haul that just came in, do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." So he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah." He's really looking at him in the eyes like, "Come on, you and me right here. Do you love me?" He's looking at him. "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah." Don't you know he was just intently looking him square in the eyes? And just, can you imagine if Peter could even lock eyes with Jesus at this point because of all that he felt on the inside? The shame that he felt for denying his own Lord that he had followed all those days, all those years. He said, he was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." Now he's a fisherman. He is a fisherman. He loves to fish. That's what he's done his whole life. He's a fisherman. He was raised to be a fisherman. He knew how to catch fish. But now Jesus is saying, "Do you love me? Because I'm fixing to change your career. I'm fixing to change your life. This is what I need you to do." basically everything that you've learned in the last 3 years with me, I want you to take it, and I want you to tell your people about that. I want you to tell them about me. I want you to go and feed them. Now, I was just thinking about guys, you know, and guys who, especially like fishermen, you know, you go out and you kind of plan your own schedule and whatever. And I'm thinking that Peter probably liked fishing and liked fish more than he liked people. I don't think he was a real people person, honestly. So for Jesus to ask him, feed my sheep, it was a big deal. I mean, he's going to change everything. His whole mentality is going to have to change because Jesus asked him to do something for him. And so what I felt like tonight, I felt like the Lord was saying to each one of us, do you love me? And then when you say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then I want you to blank. And he's got some specific. He's got something specific for you because, and it may not even be something that you completely like. My husband has come tonight. I'm so grateful. Thank you, honey. I appreciate your support and your love. And the Lord has called us to support Robert and Laura and to step in whenever they need us to. And so that's what we do. And that's what he does. And you guys have heard my husband preach, and he's amazing. But he doesn't really enjoy it. It's not like something he looks forward to. It's like, I can't wait till the next time I get to preach. No, that's not what he does. But he knows. I mean, he loves the Lord. I know he loves the Lord. And so when the Lord calls him to say, I need you to, or when Robert calls him and says, I need you to preach for me on a Sunday or whenever it is, he says yes. Because he loves the Lord. And so when the Lord's asking you to do something that gets you out of your comfort zone, like getting up here this is the day that I found out I was going to preach tonight, you say yes. And then you say, Lord, fill my mouth because I have no idea what I'm going to say. And so that thing about Peter came to me today. And he's like, do you love me? And that's what he was saying to me. Do you love me? Then you'll just do what I say. What I'm asking you to do. I want you to get up and start talking, and I'm going to fill your mouth because I have no idea what the next thing that I'm going to say is. But when you love the Lord, his love is shed abroad in our hearts because Romans 5:5 says that hope does not disappoint, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when you got born again, guess what? You got a measure of love. We all have a measure of love to walk in. So when we say yes to the Lord and we say yes to the love, then the capacity to do it is there because it's not you. All he wants you to do is say, yes, Lord, I love you. And did Peter do it perfectly? No. You can go and read the stories. He and Paul had clashes because Paul rebuked Peter because he wasn't doing it right because he still had some of that law on the inside of him. But you know, Psalms 103, it's one of my favorite Psalms. Lord, I was wondering how that was going to fit in. You're just so cool. I know you guys all know the Psalms, and it's so amazing. Let's see. I didn't put where it was, though. Oh, it's 14. Psalms 103:14 says, for he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. We're just a puff. You know what I'm saying? He understands our weaknesses and our frailties, and he says, I want to take that from you. And in your weakness, I'm going to be made strong. So I just want you to know that when you feel the weakest, that's when I'm going to be the strongest. And so tonight, what I felt like is I want to read this Psalms to you, and then I want to do a little spiritual act in your chair. You don't have to get up and do anything. You don't have to run around the church. But what I feel like the Lord wants to do is he wants to tell you something. He wants to ask you, Debbie, do you love me? And then when you say, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I know you love the Lord. He's going to say something. I feel like the Lord told me he wants to speak something into you. He's got something amazing for you in this coming year. It doesn't matter what happens with the government or the economy or anything, because we live in a different kingdom. We live by a different set of rules. We're in covenant with God Most High. It doesn't matter. It's your faith in God and you're trusting in him, and what he's going to do is where it's going to get you where you need to be. Not what the president has to say or our governor or our senator. It does not matter. We've seen that over the last 8 years. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich and he adds no sorrow to it. And that's a testimony that Dwayne and I have in this last 8 years. We have never lacked for anything. We have not. The Lord has blessed us. He's blessed us in our family. I mean, we're so rich. He's blessed us with our friends. He's blessed us with finances. I mean, it's just so amazing. When you're in covenant with him and you're doing what he's telling you to do, he just opens up the doors. It's so awesome serving the Lord, isn't it? I mean, I know I'm talking to all the servants of the Lord here. It's like, I know I'm preaching to the choir. But I just want to encourage you. And I know that the Lord wants to give us directives. Because Peter was a fisherman his whole life. And then God changed him that quick. He said, I want you to feed my sheep and tend my lambs. And you may not even know what the Lord has for you at this point. But you can just say, Lord, you know that I love you. What is it? And be open enough to say, okay. Because, so, you know, we had to say it three times. He's like, what exactly did he say? Feed my sheep? What does that even mean? I'm a fisherman. I feed fish so I can catch them in my net. No, but he says, I want you to feed my sheep. And it changed his whole life. It changed his whole destiny. But God wrote it, the end from the beginning, right? Psalms 139, he wrote the end. He wrote your end from the beginning. We just have to figure out what the next step is that we have to take. And that's always in faith, not always knowing what the next step looks like, right? It could be like right off this thing, but then he has to put the step there, right? Okay. So what I want to do is I want to sing that song that we sang, that last song, the praise and worship team wants to come up. I'm going to read this Psalms 103. One of the things that I felt like the Lord told me for this coming year, and I've told my friends, and I want everybody to do it because I think it's going to be, helpful. There's probably a better word for it, but we listen to this CD that has this word on it, and the guy on the CD says, "How big is your chair?" And what the revelation was is that God inhabits the praises of his people. So if I'm sitting in a little chair like this, and God's going to inhabit that with however much praise I can give him. But if I praise him more, the more I praise him, the more I thank him, and more gratitude I have for what he's already done in my life, then how much bigger is my chair going to be? He's going to inhabit the praises of his people. And we can praise God in the midst of trouble. That's the best time to praise the Lord, is in the midst of trouble, because knowing that he is the one that your help comes from. He is your Savior. He is your provider. He is the one who rescues you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all of our iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. And he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Who knew that your mouth had something to do with being renewed? Who knew? It says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. This is my favorite part. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. His mercy is new every morning. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh my gosh, how awesome. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. What's our commandment to do them? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the commandment he's talking about right there. Love God. And then he fills you with the capacity to be able to love others. That's what I love about him. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word. The angels are waiting for you to speak the word because they're going to hearken to it. They're the ones that are going to bring it to pass. They're just waiting for you to speak the word out over your life and over your family. They heed the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So as we sing this song, I don't want you, you can do whatever you want to, but I want you to hear the Lord speak to you and say, do you love me? And when you say, yes, Lord, back, he's going to say, I believe he's going to speak to your heart tonight. As we worship him and he inhabits our praises, he's right here. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm right here in the midst of you. He wants to speak to us. He's not holding back. He's not holding out on us. He wants to give us direction just like he did Peter. He wants to change our lives. So as we worship the Lord with this song just a couple of times, just silence your soul. Just tell your soul to be quiet and listen with your heart and ask the Lord. Just tell him, I love you, Lord. I love you. And just see if he has anything to say back to you. Amen.